Beautiful. Thank you.
I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. We've been doing a series on Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And Paul writes this: "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But each one of us has grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." The Lord bless his words to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning I want to think about this passage in Ephesians, as we go through Ephesians, and think about the part to play. And there's really two words to think about, which is unity and maturity. But first, I want to get started with something a little bit humorous. I heard about this man who was stranded all alone on this desert island for years. And finally, he was rescued, and his rescuers got him on board the boat. And they looked out, and there was three buildings on the island. And they said, "Well, what are those three buildings for?" They were so perplexed because one man and three buildings. He said, "Well, that's easier. One's my home and one's my church." And they said, "Well, what about the other building?" He said, "Well, that's the church I used to go to." Well, you know, so often today we get worried about churches, and churches are split over little kinds of things that probably doctrinal things that people don't really understand, or differences about how you do different things. And Paul this morning challenges us to have a part to play, but the most important thing is that we have unity and maturity. And we looked at the book of Ephesians, and we talked about four different sort of P's, if you will, in that. And Paul gives us a purpose, a picture, a plan, and a part to play. And he also tells us about the power to accomplish them. And the purpose is that all things will be brought together under Christ. And he paints a picture for those in adversity. Paul's writing from prison in Rome. And he says that God has revealed to us many things. God has blessed us and secured us and chosen us. And he gives this image of the Holy Spirit being sort of God's kingly ring imprint on our hearts and lives that guarantees that God will see us from here to all of eternity. And then he talks about a plan where God has ordained from the very foundations of the world that this isn't plan B, Jesus giving his life on Calvary, that God knew from the start that if he created people with a freedom of choice, that we would also make wrong choices. But we needed to have freedom of choice if we're really to be able to love. And so that was worth that. And so from the very beginning, there was the plan that God would give his life in Christ, that Christ would give his life, that we could know our freedom, and by salvation would be through faith alone and Christ alone. And so then we talked about our relationship with Christ as an image of a bridge and a foundation of family. And now we're looking at a part to play. And as we look at this, we all have a part to play, but Paul sort of starts this whole next section of the book, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, and he's going to tell us about the part to play. This morning we're going to look at unity and maturity, and then next week tells us about we need to renew our hearts and lives, reignite the passion in our lives. And then he talks about humility as we serve, and then finally he gives probably one of the great battle cries of the church in chapter 6 in all the Bible. And so this morning we're looking at unity and maturity, and this is what he says as we sort of walk through that. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, and Paul isn't just using that figuratively, though he is, but he's also literally a prison in Rome. He may be executed for giving his testimony. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And he uses this imagery. He goes through here and he says, be completely humble and gentle. Now, in other words, I mean, it's hard enough to be humble and gentle, but be completely humble and gentle. I don't know what all that means, but a lot of times when we think about humility and gentleness, we think of it as weakness. But someone once said that humility isn't weakness, it's gentle strength. And when you really know someone who's humble and strong and knows who they are, they don't need to sort of push people around. They just have a sort of air about that. And so Paul says, listen, be completely humble and gentle. He goes on to say, be patient, bearing one another in love. So be humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing one another in love. And there's a sense in which it's as if we're lifting one another up. If someone gets, if you've ever done a sort of climbing up a mountain, sometimes you're buried together with a rope. And if someone falls, you're all sort of thrown together. And the idea is there's enough people on that mountain to hold each other up as you're going up the mountain. And so Paul says, listen, we're bound together in love. And he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That image again of this bond of peace. And he goes on to give these series of images of being one in Christ. And he says this, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. What a great image of this painting of the unity we have in Christ. In other words, that there's only one Father, one Lord, and Jesus Christ. He gave his life on the cross. And sometimes we've created differences where there don't need to be differences. It's just the most important thing we share is our love in Jesus Christ and the saving grace that he gives us. So he goes on to give this image that we all have a gift before him. And so he says, there's this image of Jesus led these captives when he was resurrected, led these captives, Hades, to heaven, and he gave these gifts. It's sort of like a parade image that Paul's using there. But the most important thing is that Paul is using the image that God has given gifts and talents to each and every one of us. And he gives these lists of gifts, and it's not an exhaustive list. You can see longer gifts in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but he gives this scenario real quickly. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God become mature. And so that image of why do we have these gifts that we're given? And he gives these images of different offices in the church. Really, he says, what it is about is that we all have gifts and talents, and if we use those gifts and talents in the right spirit, which is the spirit of unity and maturity, then we can really become the body of Christ that God has called us to be. Just like if you watch a basketball game, a good basketball game, or a good football game, where everyone works together as a team. They're not built the same. They don't look the same. You know, your linemen don't look the same as the quarterback. They don't look the same as the, you know, as the halfback. And same thing with the receivers. They all have different sort of physical abilities. But if they try to play someone else's position, it isn't going to work. The quarterback tries to be a lineman. That doesn't work very well. Lineman tries to be a quarterback. That doesn't usually work very well. But when they find their place and they work together, then they can accomplish great things. And the same thing if a center tries to be a guard tries to be center, that doesn't work very well. And you and I, as part of the Church of Jesus Christ, we're all given gifts and talents. And it doesn't matter what our gifts and talent is. I mean, the pastor is the same as the deacons and all the different people, Sunday school teachers, everyone has a place, and we all have a place to serve God out in the world and be beacons of light. And so Paul's giving this image, and he says, until we reach this maturity, and he says, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So our goal in whatever we do is, in a sense, to be this image of Christ here on earth, the hands and feet of Jesus ministering to people in need each and every day, wherever we are. And that's the measure, and that's the goal of who we are and what we need to do. I'm reminded of this true story. My sister used to live in Somerset, Pennsylvania, but the news story was across the news around the nation quite some time ago, but there were these miners in Pew Creek, Pennsylvania, and there was a mine collapse, and nine men were trapped 240 feet under the ground, for 3 days. And during those 3 days, most of the tunnel was filled almost all the way up with 55 degree water. Now, if you know anything about water and how cold it is, 55 degrees is really, really cold. Normally, hypothermia sets in after just a, maybe an hour or so. And somehow these guys made it through 3 days until they were rescued, and they took him to the hospital there. Some of my sisters working at the hospital, but they interviewed one of the guys later, and he was talking about it, and he said this. He said, when one person got cold, then the other eight would wrap themselves around that person, and then someone else would get cold, and they'd put that person in the center. They'd only wrap themselves around them. And he said, every person had their weak moments, and every person had their strong moments. But he said this. He said, any certain time, maybe one guy got down, then the rest would pull together. And then the guy would get back up, and maybe someone else would feel a little weaker. But it was a team effort. That's the only way it could have been. And you think about that as an image of the church. However strong we are, we're going to have our weaknesses. We're going to have our weak moments. We're going to have a time when maybe we're sick or we're injured, or we just have difficulties going through relationships or whatever it is. But if we surround each other, form a united bond and lift each other up in the bond of Christ and the unity and maturity of Christ, then we can accomplish things that we couldn't individually as we together serve Christ. So unity is the one thing. The other thing is maturity, and they're really interrelated. He goes on to just when he starts to say about that there's apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and all these different gifts, he goes on then to say, he said, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. I don't know if you ever sort of stood on the shore of Lake Michigan on a really windy day, but sometimes you look at these ships, or these boats in the harbor, and they're really big boats, and think, oh, nothing can rock them. But you go out there and stand on the shore when there's 9 or 10 foot waves out there, and those boats are just tossed around like the little corks out in the being shaken in a bottle. And so Paul uses this imagery that we don't have to be infants, and we don't have to be sort of corked on this, on the winds and waves tossed about to and fro, if we have the maturity that's in Christ. And that maturity takes understanding what the gifts and talents of other people are and what our mission is as a church, which is to be united together as members of the body of Jesus Christ and to serve and to attain to his full measure. And he goes on to say this. He said, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's a great image about, instead, speaking the truth in love. There's going to be moments where we see someone maybe doing something wrong, or someone hurts our feelings or whatever, but there's, even when we're, let's say, right, there's a right way of going about that, and there's a wrong way. And Paul's saying, listen, speak the truth in love. Whatever you say and whatever you do, if you reach out and do that with a word of love, people know the difference. And there are times when you can see a brother or sister, maybe they fall along the way, and there's a difference between sort of pushing someone down and saying, I knew you didn't have what it took, and just sort of reaching down and saying, listen, we're here for you. We're together as the body of Christ. We'll get through this together. And we're united, and our strength is here for your strength. Just like those miners who were 240 feet below the surface and couldn't have made it without reaching out for each other. So our job, our mission, as a family of faith is to be this image of Christ here on earth. And if we all bring our gifts and talents together, because every single one of us, young and old alike, men and women, wherever we are, whatever our background is, God has given us gifts and talents, and we'll pull those together. And we can be the image of Christ each and every day in our community and do great things for Christ. Jesus gives the same image of that kind of maturity and unity in this sermon, this moment in the Gospel of Matthew. And this mother of James and John, probably with good intentions, comes to Jesus and says, listen, would you let my sons be on your left hand and your right hand? You know what I mean? Person of power has people on their left and on their right. And Jesus looks at her and says, you don't know what you're asking. And she says, oh, I do know what you're asking. And Jesus alludes to his death that was about to take place, and they don't really understand that. But then Jesus comes right to the point, and he says this. He says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, Jesus' model was one of being a servant to all, even those who were cruel and harsh to him and took his life. So for a moment, I'd like you just to imagine for a moment what we could be as a church. If we all pooled our gifts and talents, we all worked together as a team that we could, we used our strengths to be part of the strength, and where there's weaknesses in someone, we reached down and we pulled that person up and we shared our strengths so they had that moment of weakness, that we could be all that we could be, being the image of Christ and being the hands and feet of Jesus in our community, both near and far. D.L. Moody was fond of using this imagery. He said, there's two ways of being united. One is by being frozen together, and one is by being united together. Now, I know with all the snow we've had, most of us don't want to be frozen together right now, right? But there is that image of being melted together with the warmth of the love of Jesus Christ. And when that happens in our lives, it makes a big difference. And you never know, even the smallest of us, if we work together, can accomplish great things. You think about a snowflake. Being the image of snow, we've seen enough of it probably. But, you know, a snowflake is probably one of the most fragile things in all of nature. But when you put all that snow together, all of a sudden, it's a pretty formidable force. If you try to tear apart, you know, pushing all around. You know, one snowflake isn't much, but you put them all together, they stick together, and it forms a mountain. And so sometimes when we look at our own self, we think, well, gee, you know, I'm insignificant in and of myself. But if we're together, we're united in that way, then we can do things that we couldn't do alone. And that's what Paul is challenging us to say. Listen, we all have a part to play. And the mature attitude is to recognize our own gifts and talents and also to recognize the gifts and talents of others. When we put our strengths together, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. It's together, we'll work together in the bond and the unity of Christ's love. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're so thankful for your love and your mercy and your grace. And we pray today that you help us to strive to have the unity and maturity that Paul challenges us to have. Not just today, but each and every day. We pray that we be your hands and feet in the community, and that we would reach out and serve together as a family of faith, the sisters and brothers in Christ. In your name, amen.